television screens, we often see advertisements about personal injury solicitors who can claim compensation for any injury. The subject today is more than just compensation. It's about restoration through compensation. And this is the Hebrew word for atonement. And this is what we are reading today, going to do, talk about today. This morning, we spoke about who is a Christian. We spoke about how we are chosen by God, adopted, and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, for the forgiveness of sins. And we are sealed by the Spirit. He died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, that we can be reconciled to the Father. It's a restoration through compensation. Let me give you a picture of this. There was a farmer who had a big wheat field, a field full of wheat. And as the wheat was about to ripen, he looked afar and he saw there was a fire coming at the edge of the wheat field. And he became alarmed because he had a big farm, a big barn. There were horses and cows, including his house. And if he knew the fire came, everything would be burnt. So what did he do? He took a torch and he ran forward for 500 yards and he set fire, a ring of fire, around his barn and his house. And when the big fire came along, when it came to the edge of the scorched earth, the fire stopped. Well, he had saved his building, the farm, his barn and his cows and his horses, but the wheat was all gone. And so he walked into the stubble, the burnt stubble, and then he saw a charred body of a hen lying there. It was burned to death. And he turned over the body of the hen, and underneath he saw a dozen little chicks. The mother's body of the hen had been over these cheeks. It was burnt, but the cheeks were alive. This is what the prophet portrays in this depiction of the atonement of the servant of God. In the day of Christ dying, it has stopped God's wrath, God's patience against his people who continue to sin against him. The day Christ was placed upon the cross, God said Christ was guilty of all the law, having become a curse through his crucifixion. But on that day, God placed the sin of his people on his servant, and Christ came between us and the wrath of God. And that day, we will be free. We see the servant, as we read in Isaiah, the servant as the resource of the atonement, the reason for the atonement, and the role for the atonement. What is the resource for the atonement? As we read in Leviticus, it is the ram of the atonement. The ram of the atonement. As we read in Leviticus, they shall bring forth a ram. Now, there is a bit of confusion with the word atonement. Some people use the word expiation, E-X-P-I-A-T-O-N. These words are not synonymous there, yet some people use it. Now, expiation means to make an attempt to correct a wrong done to another. But atonement means restoration through compensation. Expiation means to make an attempt to correct a wrong done to another. But atonement means restoration through compensation. This means that man's reconciliation with God after having transgressed the terms of the covenant. This means that this reconciliation is made clear in the big book of Leviticus. Let us take a look at it again. It says that if a man is sinful and unfaithful to God, deceiving his neighbor or losing his property, then he shall make restitution in full, and he has to pay compensation. So what does this forgiveness mean? It means through the sacrifice of the ram of the atonement. It would be a wonderful thing to see, maybe to live under the bondage of the law for a while. We have lost the sense of horror that sin could bring to us. We have failed to learn to be a forgiving people. We have failed to reconcile ourselves with our neighbors, our friends, and even our families. And more than that, we have failed sometimes to be reconciled with our God. And this is what Isaiah's message is all about. Not only did Israel reject her God, but they failed to see God's hand in leading the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, into captivity. You would think that they would have fallen on their knees after watching their family members being dragged to the east with fish hooks in their mouth. But no. For here, Isaiah states that the servants of Yahweh will take up our infirmities and carry our sorrows. We read that in Isaiah. He will take our sorrows on him. In the book we read, he carried our sorrows, he carried our grief. And the verb for carried means to contain, to carry it, to bear it for one another. Have we ever experienced grief like that? Our infirmities are translated as our sickness, our griefs, our sorrows. And the consequence of sin is sickness and death. These are our consequences. Yet Isaiah says, the servant of Yahweh, the servant of God, will pick them up and carry them. He will bear them for us. But we concerned him stricken by God. We do not own our own responsibility for his death. We say that he was smitten by God. But when we see him on the cross, we hold no ownership for placing him there. We say he was smitten and afflicted by God. Yet, in verse 4 of Isaiah we read, he bore our griefs. He bore our griefs. And this prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 to 17, which tells us Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This verse in Matthew is saying that when Jesus healed those who had demons and illnesses, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 53:4. He bore our griefs. That is, that Jesus not only carried the sorrows of the people in his life ministry, but by healing them of disease, he bore the sorrows, the sins, and the weight of the world upon the cross, which is still effective today. What is the reason for this atonement, this restoration through compensation? In Isaiah 53:5, we read that he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. He was pierced. He was crushed. He was wounded. The imagery is of someone mutilated by a spear and buried under a load of such crushing force that anything underneath is pulverized. By his stripes we are healed. Remember in Matthew 27, chapter 27, verses 27 to 31. After Jesus was tried and awaiting his crucifixion, he was beaten and whipped. And thus it accounts for the statement, by his stripes we are healed. And this is fulfilled in Matthew 27 to 31. Let me read again. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spat upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. You see, he suffered for our sins. The price of our sins is death. For if we accept Jesus as our Savior, he will step in and take our place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and he will bear the whip, so that by his stripes we will be healed. By his stripes we will be healed. The servant of the Most High God was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brings peace was upon him. And they crucified him. Isaiah doesn't give further reasons, but it was for our iniquities. It was for our transgressions. Going back to Leviticus, it says, if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving his neighbor about something entrusted to him, or left in his care or stolen, or if he cheats him, or if he finds lost property and lies about it and swears falsely, he thus sins and becomes guilty. And further in Leviticus 4:22, when a leader sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord his God, he is guilty. These are the laws of transgressions. If a man person sins and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though he does not know it, he is guilty and will be held responsible. The many sins of transgressions is all in Leviticus. And the reasons for the atonement is that all are guilty. We are all guilty of damnation. We have all offended the Almighty God and broken His law. Paul says in Romans, there is none righteous, not even one. All have sinned, and the wages of sin is death, says Paul. That is the reason for the atonement. Now let's come to the role of the atonement. Of the restoration of our relationship with God our Father through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:6 reads, for we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one in his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As Paul says, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. There is none righteous, not even one. In doing so, God is talking about all of humanity. He's speaking of the universal depravity and universal sin. For we like sheep have gone astray. Here Isaiah is painting again with words. As he does, he uses the imagery of sheep. We probably have all memorized this verse in our childhood. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But the words are again deeper than our minds can take. The verb is all we is a subject implies more than just wandering off. The idea conveys is running after our own whims. It's like a kitten chasing butterflies. It is each one of us chasing after our own selfish dreams, our own ideas, our own goals. But even more than chasing, it is being in a daze, confused in our own ignorance, our own incapacity to choose the right path. It is not just one simple-minded, confused lamb running around after its own idealism, but it's a multitude of sheep, a plethora of flocks, with each individual member wandering in his old confusion. It's about the church. We all have our own ideas on how things should be done, how we should decorate the church, what tables to set, what snacks in the kitchen. But what does God think? What does he want to do? What does he entrust to us? How does he want us to raise our children? Does he have a master plan for each one of us? Does it fit? The Lord has laid on him. It should not be thought of as gently laying a load on Christ, for the word is to strike violently. The iniquity of which we are guilty does not come back to us. It strikes as it does, like a hit, a punching bag. No, yes, it is placed on Yahweh's servant with all the violence that our iniquities have mustered upon us. For Jesus Christ is the servant of God. He bore our iniquities. It struck him. He is the servant who came to bear our sins. He is the servant on whom the Almighty God has dumped the iniquity of his people. It's the sins, your sins, my sins, that have pierced him. It is our sins that have crushed him. Yet God was pleased to do it. God was pleased to take our sins on his body. He was pleased to be stripped bare and nailed to the cross for all the world to see. Because we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned in his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. In Matthew 9, chapter 9, 35, 36, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That is the reason for atonement. He came to be our shepherd, to guide us back into the fold. And in Matthew chapter 26, 31, 32, made reference to his disciples being scattered abroad. Thus saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Matthew 26, this is very interesting, very important to read it. Matthew 26, 31, 32. Then says Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite this shepherd, and the sheep of this flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered, though all men shall be offended against thee, yet will I never be offended. Even the disciples were offended because of him. like Peter, they refused to acknowledge him because they were afraid for their own lives. And in this action, they committed another sin that had to be borne by Jesus on the cross. This is the reason for our atonement. You see, Isaiah 53 was written as an eyewitness account of the trial and crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. This account in Isaiah 53 was written 800 years before Jesus' death on the cross. The accuracy of Isaiah 53 should be enough to say God knew all things that he was going to do. For Jesus did indeed die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. The penalty for our sins are covered only if we say that we believe in his sacrifice, the price he paid for each one of us. We began this evening with the story of the mother hen who protected her own chicks by placing them under her wings. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, gave his life for each one of us. For each one of us who have been chosen by God, called by him, redeemed by the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Do we belong to him? Do we hear his voice calling to us? Are we living a life worthy of his death? Let's just be sure that the Almighty God has placed our sins on Christ. He is speaking to each one of us. He is speaking to the church, to the ones called by his name. He is calling you. He is calling me. Let us reflect upon the atonement, the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ, for your sins, for my sins, for our restoration, for our reconciliation to God our Father, who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.